فإمساك بمعروف أو تصريح بإحسان. صلوات من أكبر. Three weeks ago on Thursday night program, on the 23rd of June, I talked about the issue of the optional conditions that we recommend in the Islamic marriage contract. And we talked about the two main items there. Well, only the first one, where the husband delegates irrevocable authority to the wife to appoint a wakil on his behalf to get herself divorced in certain situations. There were limited, you know, circumstances that we talked about. And basically, the whole discussion, and I don't want to repeat that, you can go and see on YouTube, inshallah, if you want, if you are not there. But the whole idea of putting that condition was to basically hope for the best, but plan for the worst. Hopefully that nikanama would be there, put in the safe, never to become out again, you know. But the reason why we, as I explained that, based on the observation that we had for more than 30 decades in this part of the world, that is an important issue as far as the women's situation, who are left suspended, neither married nor divorced. Whereas Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't agree with that situation. Three ayat we talked about, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَمْسِكُهُنَّ بِمَعْرُوفِ أَوْ فَارِقُهُنَّ بِمَعْرُوفِ. Either hold on to them with fairness or let them go with fairness. Another ayat, أَمْسِكُهُنَّ بِمَعْرُوفِ أَوْ صَرِّحُهُنَّ بِمَعْرُوفِ. Same words. A third one, فَإِمْسَاكٌ بِمَعْرُوفَ وَإِحْسَانٌ بِتَصْرِيحٌ. Either hold on to them with fairness or let them go with kindness. So there's nothing like suspended, you know, where some of the men would like to use that authority of talaq in order to punish the wife. They no more want her, but, you know, they said, okay, I'll let you just suffer. And this is where, you know, we talked about these issues of the conditions. But tonight I would like to actually talk about the second condition, which I wasn't able to talk on that day. And that is about the issue of division of property in case of divorce. The reason I'm talking about these issues is we are already into middle of the summer. And after opening of the center, mashallah, the marriages are, you know, at full swing in a way. And then after Arbaeen again, you will have the same, you know, marriage season starting again. And these are the issues it is important to remember about it and think about it. Salawat Pranik Marar. So one of the conditions in that proposed, you know, optional condition in the marriage contract is the issue of division of property in case of divorce. What happens? Before we go to that, it's important to understand that what is the meaning of ownership? What is the basis of becoming a malik and an owner of something? Basically, there are three things. Either a person inherits something, and he becomes the owner of that by inheritance, or a person works and earns from it, and whatever he is earning becomes his property and his maal. Or the third basis would be the gift, which would, where we will also include charity and things like that. If a person is given something free, you know, then that person becomes the owner of that item or the money. And in that context, does marriage itself create the right of ownership? No. Marriage does not create this honor or, you know, right of ownership for one spouse in the property of the other. So marriage by itself automatically doesn't mean that tumhara jo hai wo mera hai aur mera bhi mera hi hai. It doesn't work that way, okay? And so when we talk about husband-wife relationship, we realize that they come into marriage with their own, you know, properties, and they have absolute right on that. Before marriage, whatever they had, whatever they came with in the marriage, it belongs to them. Marriage does not change the ownership or the right of one spouse over the property of the other. Whatever the husband had before the marriage and whatever the wife had before the marriage, it's their exclusive property. Yes, they can say we'll use one another's property, that's fine. But technically, there is no, it's not a right as such. Not only that, even when they are married, during the marriage time, whatever they inherit from their families, or whatever they earn for because of their work, or the gift which is given to them while they are married, those are also their exclusive properties where the other spouse does not have an automatic right on it. And so whether it's before marriage or after marriage, you know, malikiyat and ownership has its own, you know, reality. And so what happens? You know, we always wish and pray that things would always be good. But if things don't work out, and they go, the couple go for divorce, then what happens to the property? Especially we are talking here about the issue of the wife. What is the entitlement that she has? Number one, the mahar is her right if it was not paid. Or if it was not asked, you know, oh, forgive me. Don't do that in the first night of marriage. You know, it's just a kind of a, it's like emotional blackmail. You know, if you're writing down in the Nikanama and you're saying this is a mahar, let it be, respect it. You are the one who proposed it or accepted it and you sign on it. Okay, this issue of forgiving, if she later on, you know, says, okay, I forgive it, I don't want it, that's a different thing. In case of divorce, whatever was the property of the wife, whether she brought it in the marriage or inherited or earned it while she was married or it was gifted to her, that is again her property. And the third issue would be that if the husband and wife both bought or built a property or an item, you know, they contributed, bought towards it, then this is where we have to realize that according to the proportion of their contribution in that property, they have the right in it. Whether it's 50-50 or whatever, it depends on how much was their contribution. Or if they say, you know, we don't know the numbers, we'll just decide it that it's half and half, that's fine. And so when it comes to the issue of what is known as the common properties, you know, both the husband and wife, both would have the appropriate share in the common property. However, the reason why we have added a condition there, and I'll talk about it later on, is that in situations where the woman is a housewife, and I'm just using a very common term to make things, you know, simpler, we understand what we're talking about. In such a divorce cases, they are actually left without any financial support. And what happens there? You know, unfortunately, and before I go to the actual solution, the secular society as well as Muslim community in general, they don't recognize the contribution of a woman who chooses to stay home, housewife, or, you know, a modern term we use, homemaker. Even the woman liberation movement, you know, has not really that much given prestige to that title. And that's why, you know, the housewife is now replaced with the word homemaker, you know, seems to be more kind of respectable term. And this is where we have to realize they give more importance to that career as opposed to a career woman, a woman who works outside. When it comes to the housewife or homemaker, you know, her hard work in managing the household, taking care of the children, you know, bringing them up to be productive citizens of the society, this is not adequately recognized or appreciated even by the women's liberation movement. And just changing the word, you know, housewife to homemaker doesn't really elevate the status. And this is where we have to realize that, you know, especially those who even abandoned their career when they had a child, that they wanted to, you know, give more time to the family and to the child at home. And so motherhood is an important issue that we have to realize. And from the Islamic point of view, we know about it, but we need to be reminded again and again. From the Islamic point of view, a wife is not legally, from the Shari'i point of view, required to do any household chores or even to take care of her own children. I know you guys don't like it, but you have to listen to this. Salawat Prandik Barar. Theoretically talking, if she wants, she can ask the husband to pay for the work she's doing, including taking care of her own child, because the responsibility of providing for the wife and the children is not on her, it is on the husband. And this is where we have to realize that, you know, this is from the Shari'i, you know, legal point of view. Of course, on an akhlaqi level, on a moral level, Islam says that if a wife helps the husband in managing the household and taking care of the children, this is greatly appreciated. The difference is that it is not her obligation and duty. This was just to make sure that the husband does not consider the wife to be a slave or a servant. They married a wife, not a, you know, ayah or nokrani or something like that. And that and, you know, understanding has to be there. Therefore, Islam says, on a legal basis, she doesn't have any obligation. On an akhlaqi level, of course, she can help the husband in taking care of the house and the children, and that is actually the true partnership in marriage. Salawat Prandik Barar. A housewife's contribution in the betterment of the household and the upbringing of the children during our time can only be appreciated once we look at the dollar and cents numbers. Because this is how the world is now. You know, they won't like to put the dollar value to it. And interestingly, it is sometimes important to talk about it. Just think about it. That when your wife is working at home by her choice, not as a wajib Shari'i duty, you know, she actually is saving your money. If she was not doing the household chores, you will have to hire a maid to do that. If the wife was not taking care of the children, you will have to hire a, babysitter, you know, to take care of the children. It means you'll have to pay them. And this is where you have to realize that basically, you know, your wife is actually saving your money. We don't appreciate it. We just say, yeah, it's there. It's a poetic, you know, thought. Inshallah, Allah will reward you. But sometimes to appreciate that, you know, dollar value is are important to understand. By looking at the statistics which are out there, there are two measures to look at the dollar value of a housewife who works at a home and takes care of the children. And those two measures give you different numbers. For example, if you look at an accountant and ask him to look at it, he will just look at how many hours does she spend and what is the going rate for that work, and they'll give you the calculation, and so that is a higher figure. And I'm not giving you the exact numbers, huh? But if you ask an economist, they use a different measure. They say, well, even a woman who works outside, career woman, she still comes home and does things. Husband to boss hai na, wo kursi pe aake baith jayega, TV laga ke. बीवी भी बाहर काम कर रही है, आने के बाद फिर उसको घर का भी काम कुछ करना पड़ता है. So they look at the career woman, you know, how much, you know, what time normally average they spend. So they said that is a common between a career woman and a housewife. So we minus those hours. Yeah, economists, this is how they look at it. And so the figure you get from the economist on this issue would be lesser. What I have done is I have taken out the average. And this is for your information, that if your wife stays home and takes care of your household, and she's taking care of your children, according to the current numbers, she's actually helping you save $27,000 to $30,000 a year. Okay? So this is for you guys. But now I would like to talk to these sisters who are there. I've given you the numbers, but please don't use those numbers when you go home. Don't go and ask your husbands, okay, this is much I should get it. You have to realize that all these discussion I'm having about numbers and contribution, this is just to make the husbands realize the contribution of the wives who are not career women, rather they work at home. And their contribution have to be appreciated. Because remember when we talk about the elevated status of especially mothers in Islam, this is actually based on their sacrifice, their devotion, and their love for the children and the husband and the family in general. You know, when we say that the Jannat and paradise is under the feet of the mother, well, that is because of the sacrifice. So don't lose that status because of the dollars and cents. This is only there to make the men realize that even though your wife might not be a career woman, but she is actually helping you in saving money as far as the family wealth is concerned. Salawat Pranik Bara. And so it's with that thinking that, you know, in the marriage contract, the suggestion that we have, and this has been there for the last 15 years or more, is that if the husband initiates the divorce, he doesn't want to continue anymore, then in this case, the husband will actually give to the wife as a part of the division of the property. And the numbers would depend on their agreement, whether it's one-third, one-fourth, or half, the way it is in the secular court, for example, that whatever was acquired and earned during the time of the marriage, you know, if this clause is put in there, then that becomes a Shari'i clause and it becomes binding. And this is specially emphasizing the point where the husband is the one who is initiating the divorce. Salawat Pranik Barak. Because if that clause is not there, the husband or the wife, they go to the civil court and try to take portion from the property of one another, that becomes a ghasbi from the Shari'i point of view. It is not legitimate, and therefore these kinds of, you know, clauses that we are putting there in the marriage contract is actually to facilitate an amicable parting in case that takes place. Salawat upon the Quran. However, when we talk about the issue of, you know, child support and things like that after divorce, you know, that has nothing to do with the issue of division of assets at all. You know, divorce is between the husband and the wife, not between parents and children. And so even if the custody is with the mother, the father would still be responsible to provide and maintain for the child. And so that is a completely different issue. And this is where we have to realize that, you know, when we talk about the mutual rights in Islam, especially in the context of the marriage, this has to be taken seriously. And because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, when he talks about huququn nas, many times we forget the reality that huququn nas doesn't mean the people out there first. It starts from your own home. Between children and parents, between, you know, spouses with one another. And that is something very important to keep in mind. It's not only namaz and roza and hajj and ziyarat and things like that. No, this issue of huququn nas is very important. There was a very prominent, you know, companion of the Prophet. When he was buried, Rasulullah himself was ahead there in the janazah, participated, was there till the end. And the mother, in a way, praised the son who had been buried, that, you know, you are very blessed because Rasulullah participated at every stage of your janazah, from ghusl to kafan, and even later on, Rasul was there. And this is where Rasulullah turns to her and says, you don't know what is happening to him now. Because of his bad behavior with his wife. So apparently he was a very good person with everyone else. Very polite. But when it came to his wife, basically that's where they, you know, even the way of speaking to her, that was something he suffered because of that after the death, especially when we talk about the barzakh. And so the issue of, you know, huququn nas, especially in a family context, is something very important to keep in mind. Salawat upon the Quran. In Islam, when we talk about married relationship, there is an ayat which I always quote in the marriage ceremonies, from Surah Ar-Rum, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that he is the one who creates two, you know, feelings or emotions in the hearts of the bride and the groom. One is mawadda and other is rahma, love and compassion towards one another. A peaceful marriage life is based on these two principles, not on legal rights. If you start to live according to that, things are not going to work. And that's where you will see that because as soon as you talk about my right and she talks about her right, you know, the things might still go on, but you will not have sukoon and peace and tranquility in that relationship. It is mawadda and rahma. Mawadda, the sense of love. You know, to think about one another before you think about yourself. And the element of rahma is the issue of, you know, having that sense of letting go. Mistakes come, nobody is infallible. You know, this sense of forgiveness. the sense of rahmah is there. And which is, if this is exercised from both sides, this is where you will have, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا, you will have peace and tranquility in your marriage relationship. Salawat upon the Ikbarahur. Look at the example of Amir al-Mu'mineen and Bibi Fatima al-Zahra, salawatullah alayha. I said that from the Shari'i point of view, the wife does not have any legal obligation to do anything as far as household chores are concerned. But on an akhlaqi level, yes. And that is where the greatness comes in and the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, gives to the wife and the mother. After the marriage of Ali and Fatima, one day both of them go to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Bibi Fatima asks this question. She's asking her father that, can you explain to us or describe our duties as far as household chores are concerned? This is Rasul. He is Sahib Shariat. According to Shariat, he could have easily gone just by the legal way and say, okay, Fatima, you don't have to do anything. Everything has to be provided by Ali. No. Rasulullah looked at the akhlaqi perspective there and he says, Fatima, whatever is to be done within, inside the house, that's your responsibility. Whatever is to be done outside the house, Ali, that's your responsibility. But even that guideline, there was more on the akhlaqi basis, not on the fiqhi, legal basis. Even there, it was not cast on the stone. There has to be this element of mawadda and rahmah. One day, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes to the house of Fatima. And what did he see? He saw that Fatima was sitting on one side of the handmill. On the other side, it was Amir al-Mu'mineen. They were helping one another. Not the handmill, what we call it. The grinding stone, you know, where you put in the wheat to grind it into flour. Those days you didn't just get the flour packaged in, you know, 1 kilo, 2 kilo bags. You had to buy wheat and then grind it at home. That was something inside the house. Rasulullah doesn't say that, Fatima, what is going on? Why is Ali doing this? No. This is where Rasulullah asked them, who of the two was doing this earlier than the other? And Ali said, Fatima was doing this and I saw her, so I said I'll sit down and help her. Rasulullah, Sayyidul Anbiya wa Khatimul Mursaleen, he says to Fatima, you get up. And now Rasul takes the place of Fatima salawatullah alayha. And then you have the Nabi and the Wali grinding the wheat to turn it into flour. And so when we talk about marriage relationship, you know, you just don't go with the legal issues. This element of mawadda and rahma have to be there. Salawat upon the Ikbara. Janabe Sayyida aur Amir al-Mu'mineen ki shaadi mein hamare yahan zikr bahut hota hai, qaseeda bahut padhte hain hum log. And I hope jo angrezi nahi samajhte hain unko dusre samjha de baad mein ki bhai hamare yahan sirf qaseeda padhne se nahi hota hai, hame unki seerat ko dekhna hai, unki example ko dekhna hai, tabhi ja ke usme barkat aayegi. صرف یہ نہیں ہے کہ انسان قصیدہ پڑھتا رہے اور عملی طور پہ جو ہے اٹس نتھنگ ٹو ڈو وِد اس. نہیں, آپ سوچ لیں, بی بی فاطمہ ایک زمانے میں بیمار پڑی اور اس وقت جو ہے خاص خواہش ہوئی ان کو انار کھانا تھا, غالباً پریگننس کے دور تھا یا آئی ڈونٹ نو ایگزیکٹلی کانٹیکس کیا تھا. امیر المومنین کے لیے مشکل تھا, غالباً اس زمانے میں سیزن نہیں تھا اس کا. جاتے ہیں, ایک انار ملا ان کو, خریدا انہوں نے. راستے میں ایک فقیر نظر آیا, علی سے یہ نہیں ہو سکا کہ وہ گزر جائیں اور اس کو نہ پوچھیں کہ تمہیں کیا چاہیے. خدا جو مرتبہ دیتا ہے تو امتحان بھی سخت لیتا ہے. علی بیٹھ گئے اس کے پاس, تمہیں کیا چاہیے؟ اس نے کہا ہمیں خواہش ہو رہی ہے انار کھانا ہے. اب آپ سوچ رہے ہیں امیر المومنین کے لیے امتحان ہے نا یہ, ایک طرف بیوی نے کہا ہے کہ مجھے خواہش ہے کہ ہم انار کھائیں. علی اس مرحلے کو اس طرح سے نہیں چھوڑ دینے والے تھے. انار کو توڑتے ہیں, اس کو کھلاتے ہیں. وہ صرف مسکین نہیں, بیمار بھی لگ رہا تھا شاید. اب علی گئے ہیں اپنے گھر, لیکن اب پریشان ہیں, ہم گھر جائیں تو کس طرح سے جائیں؟ یعنی یہ شوہروں کے لیے بھی امتحان ہے, بیویوں کے بھی امتحان ہے کہ اپنے شوہر کے امکانات کو بھی دیکھیں, ان کے ریزورسز کو دیکھیں, اس کے لحاظ سے اپنی زندگی کو چلائیں. جیسے ہی علی جو ہے گھر کے اندر وارد ہوتے ہیں, قبل اس کے کہ علی کچھ کہیں, کچھ ایکسپلینیشن دیں, فاطمہ نے کہا, اب یہ عجیب بات ہے کہ فاطمہ تھی نہیں لیکن معلوم تھا, فاطمہ کہتی ہیں کہ علی جب آپ نے انار کو اس فقیر کو دے دیا تو میرے دل سے جو خواہش تھی وہ ختم ہو گئی. یعنی یہ وہ مرتبہ ان کا بہرحال الگ ہے, لیکن یہ رویہ ہونا چاہیے کہ انسان جو ہے ایک دوسرے کے حالات کو سمجھے, ایک دوسرے کے پریفرنسز کو سمجھے, اسپیشلی جب دینی ویلیوز کی بات ہوتی ہے, تبھی جا کے اس زندگی میں, اس میرج لائف میں پیس اینڈ ٹرانکویلٹی کی جو بات خداوند عالم نے قرآن میں کی ہے وہ حاصل ہوتی ہے. یہ جو حقوق کی بات ہوتی ہے, اس لیے ہم نے اپنی بہنوں سے ہی کہا ہے نا کہ پلیز آپ اپنے شوہر سے جا کے وہ نمبر مت بتائیے گا, خدا کرے آپ وہ نمبر بھول گئے ہیں. اس لیے کہ ایک کیس ہو چکا ہے کئی سال پہلے, ہم نے کہیں اور یہ ڈسکشن ان اے ڈفرینٹ کانٹیکس بات کی تھی, تو وہ بیچارہ ایک بندہ جو ہے پھنس گیا, صاحب حیثیت بھی تھا, آخر میں اس عورت کو ڈالرز تو مل گئے لیکن شوہر نہیں ملا. تو بات یہ ہے کہ پھر سوچنا پڑے گا نا کیا کرنا ہے. یہ صرف ہم اس لیے بتا رہے ہیں نمبرز کی جو بات کر رہے ہیں تاکہ یہ جو شوہر حضرات ہیں ان کے دل میں یہ اپریسیشن ہو, اس لیے کہ یہ دنیا مادی دنیا ہے, جب تک ان کو ڈالر فگرز نہیں بتائیں گے ان کو کچھ سمجھ میں نہیں آتا. اس لیے ہے یہ, اس لیے نہیں کہ آپ جا کے مانگیں, ورنہ وہ مرتبہ جو خدا نے دیا ہے آپ کو, آپ کے قدموں کے نیچے جو جنت ہے وہ ایسی ہی تو نہیں ملی ہے نا, باپ کو نہیں دیا ہے, ماں کو دیا ہے. ابھی ایک صاحب نے مجھ سے ایک سوال کیا تھا کل ہی کہ مولانا یہ کیا ہے کہ بڑے بیٹے پر جو ہے باپ کی قضا نماز واجب ہے, ماں کی نہیں, وہ صرف ریکومینڈڈ ہے. تم نے کہا تم اپنی طرف سے سمجھ رہے ہو نا, پرہیپس اللہ کی نظر میں جو ہے ماں کے لیے زیادہ لینینسی ہے, ان کے مرتبے کو دیکھتے ہوئے, ان کی قربانی کو دیکھتے ہوئے. تو خداوند عالم نے عورت کو وہ جو حیثیت دی ہے, جو مقام دیا ہے, جو منزلت دی ہے, یہ قربانی کی بنیاد پر ہے, یہ ڈالر سینس کی بنیاد پر نہیں ہے. تو اس بات کو ہمیشہ ذہن میں رکھنا چاہیے. ہمارے لیے علی اور فاطمہ کی مثال جو ہے ہمیشہ ذہن میں رہنی چاہیے کہ جب آخری وقت آتا ہے جناب سیدہ کا, اور سیدہ کون ہے؟ بنت رسول ہیں. زوجہ علی ہیں، حسن و حسین کی ماں ہیں، خود ولیت اللہ العظمیٰ ہیں، معصومہ بھی ہیں، لیکن ایک جو آخری گفتگو ہوئی ہے علی کے ساتھ جب علی آئے ہیں اور جناب سیدہ جو ہیں بستر بیماری پہ تھی، سرانے بیٹھے علی، اور اس وقت جو ہے فاطمہ نے رونا شروع کیا۔ امیر المومنین پوچھتے ہیں کہ بی بی یہ رونے کی وجہ کیا ہے؟ کہنے لگے علی ہم اپنے لیے نہیں رو رہے ہیں، مجھے تو جانا ہی ہے، ہمیں تو صرف یہ سوچ کے رونا آ رہا ہے کہ ابھی تو ہم آپ کے ساتھ ہیں، میرے بعد آپ بالکل یک و تنہا رہ جائیں گے۔ علی واقعاً فاطمہ کے بعد بالکل تنہا تھے، جب تک فاطمہ رہیں ان کی جان بھی بچی ہے، جب تک فاطمہ زندہ تھی لوگ سلام بھی کرتے تھے، لیکن اس کے بعد رویہ لوگوں کا علی کے ساتھ بدل چکا تھا۔ یہ معصومہ خاتون ایک جملہ آخر میں کہتی ہیں کہ علی بس ہم یہ کہنا چاہتے ہیں کہ میں نے اپنی زندگی میں آپ سے شادی ہونے کے بعد کبھی بھی آپ کے ساتھ کوئی بھی ایسا کوئی نافرمانی نہیں کی ہے، میں نے آپ کے بات کے خلاف ہم نے کوئی بات نہیں کی ہے۔ یہ معصومہ خاتون ہیں، آخری مرحلے میں یہ جملہ کہہ رہی ہیں۔ امیر المومنین اپنے ہاتھ کو رکھ لیتے ہیں کہ فاطمہ یہ کہنے کی ضرورت نہیں ہے، آپ اس سے کہیں عظیم ہیں۔ اور یہی بات تھی کہ جو رپورٹ امیر المومنین کو حاصل تھا جناب سیدہ کے وجود سے، جو ہمت حاصل تھی، وہ فاطمہ کے بعد ختم ہو جاتی ہے۔ اور اسی لیے جب دفن کیا ہے جناب فاطمہ کو، اور جب لحد میں لٹایا ہے، دو ہاتھ نمودار ہوتے ہیں، علی دیکھ کر سمجھ جاتے ہیں کہ یہ رسول اللہ کے ہاتھ ہیں، بس اس جسم کو جو ہے حوالے کرتے ہیں، کہتے ہیں یا رسول اللہ یہ امانت ہے جو ہم لوٹا رہے ہیں، لیکن جب آپ نے امانت دی تھی صحیح سالم تھی، لیکن امت نے جو ظلم کیا ہے اس کے آثار آپ دیکھیں گے، اور فاطمہ کے دل سے آپ پوچھ لیں۔ بس دفن کرنے کے بعد دو جملے کہیں قبر پر، کہتے ہیں کہ میری زندگی میں دو حمایتی ستون تھے، ٹو سپورٹیو پلرز تھے، ایک جو ہے رسول اللہ کی وفات کے دن گرا ہے، اور دوسرا جو سپورٹنگ پلر تھا وہ فاطمہ کے شکل میں تھا، وہ بھی آج ہم نے دفن کر دیا۔ اللہ لعنت اللہ القوم الظالمین سیعلم الذین ظلموا ای منقلب ینقلبون۔ خداوند اس قلعہ بات قبول فرما، ہمارے گناہوں کو بخش دے، ہمارے توفیقات میں اضافہ فرما۔ خداوندہ عالم اسلام میں امن اور صلاح کی فضا پیدا کر، شیعان علی کو اپنے حفظ و امان میں رکھ، تکفیری افواج کی تمام صلاحیتوں کو نیست و نابود فرما، امام کے ظہور میں تعجل فرما۔ ربنا تقبل منا انک انت السمیع العلیم۔